The big rollout was in 2015, kind of like within 5 months, we had to do 16 train stations, which translates into, oh, how many? Almost about 50 displays.
Hello, and welcome to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. I'm Justin Oxner here with Matt Anderson. Today, we're joined by Rolf Bauer. He's the region manager for German-spoken areas of Daktronics International Operation. We're going to talk about the SBB rail project, including more than 50 displays stalled across multiple railway stations in Switzerland. And we're here today with Rolf, here to talk about SBB. Rolf, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing good. Thanks for inviting me.
Hey, Matt, how are you doing over there?
I'm doing good, Justin. How are you?
I'm fantastic today. Rolf, can you tell us a little about your relationship with Daktronics here and how you became into the region manager for Daktronics?
Sure. I think that's a nice story. I started working for a rental company. It was fixed installation business back in 2002. And we did work on the Olympic Stadium, Berlin. So as business happens, that rental company stopped its business for the fix install. And I had the only choice to get my own independent business running to continue that project with Daktronics. And so at the end of the day, we were successfully winning that project together with an old fellow in Daktronics, Peter Dunkel, the sales manager at that time. And So as a follow-up from that, we won that project, and Daktronics won a second project in France, and this was kind of like the kickoff to open an office in Wiesbaden, Germany, back in 2003. And so for myself, I got then a freelancer relationship, and afterwards I got hired just for the new company.
All right.
And one of the most recent projects, maybe a bigger project we worked on, is SBB. Can you tell us a little bit about what that stands for and how that project kind of started?
Yeah, of course. I keep it on the English pronunciation. So SBB is the Swiss Federal Railways. Makes it easier for most, I guess. So state-owned railway company. And we came in touch with them back in 2013. So by a local consultant who knew us and had good experience. And so we were participating on their tender for replacing the old mechanical flip displays by LED technology.
Okay. And this is, Rolf, if I believe correctly, this is like the first public transportation company in Europe to really embrace LED technology. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, I mean, Switzerland always plays a kind of like an extra role in Europe, I guess. It's a positive role. And so Swiss Railway has a very eager CEO. He is very future-orientated and has very good visions. And so, they made the first step. I think they were far ahead from any other railway company in Europe and then decided to make a cut with analog technology and start the new time with digital displays. And so by that, they kind of like stopped the business with these mechanical flip boards and then started to bring in big LED boards for their departure displays.
Yeah, and thinking about, you know, going from a flip board to a LED video display, right? That's a huge jump. It's kind of a combination of what were some of the main reasons for the change and then what benefits are they seeing from going with LED now?
Yeah. Well, there's several parts to that story. The one is certainly that the old technology is over 30 years old, so they get outdated, they run into service issues. But the other side is they were looking for a new way of communicating to the customer. So give the customer more than just the bare text message about departure times. And then, as you notice yourself, maybe you sit on a train station and you got a delay time displayed, but just a time, no reason why, which is causing not a very good mood on people. And so they wanted to have an opportunity to work more with pictures and give people a better understanding on why is this train late, right? Maybe a tree on the railway or whatever happens. And so by that way, they had a better control on the mood, which increases the safety on a train station, right? If you have happy people on a train station, it's much easier to deal with a crowd than people that are getting really mad.
Yeah. And are they using the displays for anything other than that communication? I mean, I'm sure they're telling you what trains are coming and what delays are happening, but is there like an advertising component to this as well?
Yeah, you hit the point. I mean, they have at least one display showing the departure times, and then the second display is so-called the emergency display, where they could show any disturbance of the traffic. Outside of those messages, it's used by out-of-home company to advertise. And since Switzerland and Swiss Rail is known as very precise, they have not many disturbances. So the majority of the time is actually showing them advertisement.
Now, I was going to say, it sounds like it's a double benefit, right? You're appeasing the passengers by keeping them informed and why things are happening. But then you also have this advertising revenue generation that you previously didn't have by having the older technology with those flipboards.
Exactly. And there also here is multiple reasons for that. The one thing is certainly everything is owned by Swiss Rail. So they basically rent out that display to the out-of-home company. And they had the hope that by the income of that rental fee, they can pay back just that extra emergency screen. Reality is, I think over 2 years, if they would count every rental fee income over 2 years, this would have paid back for the whole project, which is fantastic. The other reason why they went that step is they had multiple displays from out-of-home companies on their train stations. But as you maybe can imagine, those were all different sizes, different formats, on different spots. And they wanted to kind of like do a cleanup on the train station to give them a certain look and then have a clean style. And so by that way, now every train station has the same design. That was one of their goals as well.
Probably what, 2014? You said we've been working with them since 2013, 2014, something like that?
Yeah, the tender came out in 2013, and then we got the tender awarded in 2014. There was one pilot project to be installed in October 2014, and then and the big rollout was in 2015, kind of like within 5 months. We had to do 16 train stations, which translates into almost about 50 displays. Wow. So every sign consists out of multiple displays. They look at the end like one big display, but they're actually physically separate displays.
Well, I got to imagine, I mean, there's a lot of complications with going through that, right? There's a lot of different railway stations, a lot of displays going up. Was there anything unique challenges about getting these installed, you know, while people are still traveling?
Yeah, a lot was night work. And then, even when we were bidding to the tender, we had already to figure out the numbers. And so we were investing a lot of time in doing site visits and finding out ways how to get in the station, what could you do on the station. But then during realization time, I mean, Swiss Rail is a great customer to work with. They're very helpful and supportive. So they have an interest to have this installation going as smooth as possible also, right? And we got a lot of support, but a lot of night work involved. And Eric Graber, the project manager at that time, he was literally living about 6 months in Switzerland, so kind of like 4 or 5 days every week.
Wow.
So as an American, he was not learning German only. He is able to understand the Swiss-German dialect, which is a really great step.
So it seems like we were really able to kind of pull through from them to install. And you mentioned Eric living there, and that helped out. And we're continuing to work with them. Do we have any other projects that we're currently working with you can talk about?
Actually, yes. I mean, we did those installs, and then this contract was running over a certain period of time. So there were two additional installations coming a little later. And now we got a new tender out. And under this tender, we did two further installs. One is in Basel train station. That's kind of like a display, which is, kind of like 2.5 by 12 meter wide. The recent one, this was a tender in 2018, and the installation happened just last year in Lucerne. That's maybe the most iconic one. This is a dead-end station, and the display goes as a banner display across all the platforms. I believe 12 platforms, or 13. They may correct me if I'm wrong. So it's a display kind of like 1.27 high and almost 100 meters wide.
So with these new projects, is there anything kind of different with the new ones versus the original like 50 displays that we installed?
SPV is actually just completing their whole communication concept. I mean, the first rollout was about getting a customer into the train station and into the train as smooth as possible. And now the next problem or challenge is like, okay, the train arrives. How do you get the people off the platform as quick and smooth as possible? Also, it's the same reason. Increase safety, reduce risk of any accident or anything else happening. And so those displays are typically displaying any information about local transportation like trams, buses, ships like in Lucerne, and about touristic destinations. So that makes it very easy and smooth for people to catch information on the way out. And these LED displays are one of many various. They also go with LCD displays and other solutions. So it's a whole communication concept that they present.
You know, Ralph, there's
always combined with advertisement also here.
Oh yeah, there's a thing we usually hear about, you know, when customers, you know, even thinking back to when they first started installing LED displays, about how they, I don't know, evolve, I guess, over the use of those displays. Maybe the first time use is different than how it ends up being 2 to 3 years later. Was that kind of the case here? Because they're more familiar with LED displays, so now they either have more ideas or have a different perspective on how to use the new ones?
Certainly they learned about how to deal with content and they had slight adjustments. But the biggest thing they learned, and I think this is really kind of like an award on itself for Daktronics, as everybody else, we made promises on how the equipment will perform and how we see service. And they had their own vision based on their experience. And the reality is we have really extremely little service situations for Swiss Rail. It's going to a point where we almost had to retrain once a year the people because they just forget how to service a display because there is no incident. So they're extremely stable running, which is fantastic experience for them. And certainly, yeah, build up our relationship and support it is even better.
It's a good problem to have.
Yeah, that's always good when they forget how to service because they haven't done it. You mentioned they're using this new project to help people get off of the train platform and exit the venue or the facility or the train station or whatever. And I can't help but think when I do get to travel, Matt, it happens every once in a while.
Sometimes
I use a train station. And I've used that before, and you get off, and the first thing you're looking for is, okay, where's the exit? Like, you get out, you know you're at the right station that you want to, and it's all, where's the nearest exit that gets me to where I'm going? So I can just imagine how that would be extremely helpful to get off a train and have a display tell you where to go next.
Right, and the key here is, again, they try to work as much as possible with pictures, so to make it easy to catch the information. I think that's a key element.
Have they been able to notice, like, I'm not sure how you would measure, but, you know, has there been a significant increase in the amount of people they have been able to move off the platform since using the displays?
Well, I can tell you what SBB did when they installed their first 50 displays. They sent out students and then with questionnaires and had interviewed the people and the passengers just to get a feedback how it's received. And this was an extremely positive feedback across any ages or different groups of people, right? So this was really helpful for them. And I think that's the reason why they continued.
And it sounds like our relationship with SBB has been really great since our initial tender in 2014. And I think, do they do some partnership recognition during this past time?
Yeah, that's something we are very proud of. They had actually we received two. The first one, when we did the installation for this pilot project, this was a very tight timeline from getting the award down to installing that display. So 3 months sounds a lot of time, but this was the first one of that kind, and we still had to develop interfaces and then sort out all the static installation things construction wise, and we were there to the minute, right? To the day, the CEO has announced this final date with a little award scenario or opening scenario, and we were ready to the minute. And they awarded us, they call it the infrastructure award, which they just award to their suppliers, which was kind of like outlining this extremely good performance. And this was in 2015. And then later that year, when we finished the whole rollout, they had kind of like a get-together from, I would guess, about 50 of their main suppliers. And we received the award for the best supplier in quality. Again, because of the high performance, high and good performance of the installation, and certainly of the result, because it looked great. And so for us, this is kind of like, yeah, a Swiss award is, yeah, gold medal Olympics. So we were very proud and happy.
Yeah, it's always nice to get recognized for your work, especially on such a big project that's been happening over multiple years.
Yeah, actually it is. And if you want to continue the story of awards, we consider this also an award when we got awarded. And before we did the install, actually, Swiss Rail came over to Brookings. Okay. To do an audit of the company. So they came in a team with 5 people. For me, it was the first audit I've ever done in the company in that scale. And they spent about 3 days and really, they flipped every coin in the company. They went in every corner, every department. This was quite an experience, I think, also for the Daktronics team. This went down to shipping, to any location you can imagine, any functional role within Daktronics. All on the background of an ISO certification. This was kind of like the guidance for that audit. And at the end of the day, it was extremely helpful for us. We learned a lot about our own company, at least myself. I was really surprised about a few things. But the outcome is we were really performing extremely good. Result was really nice. They were very happy. And we got ranked in the top 10 of their suppliers. Yeah, which is also kind of like an award, if you want to say so, right? Because this ranking is they said, well, it's not very common to be that high just from the start. So, yeah.
It's always great to hear good stories, though, about like customers coming to visit us, you know, in Brookings at our corporate headquarters. What was their overall? I mean, you talked about them coming and seeing everything, asking all the questions. You yourself, you said you learned quite a bit about the company through all this. I got to imagine it was a little bit different than a normal tour that we would schedule with someone, because they probably had a lot of questions, yeah, right, that they needed answered.
Yeah, a lot of questions is maybe a slight understatement. yeah, this was in September 2014. And we did certainly a tour where they wanted to see certain things, but we spent most of the time in a room, and then one after the other, next department has to come in. Like Sheila had to come in as a representative for all the accounting side, for that example, people from shipping department, from quality, any department we have, there came one or two people in engineering, mm-hmm, all those areas. And then they had to report what they do, how we're organized, what the processes are. And then they question certainly like, okay, what is your documentation? How you guarantee sustainability and consistency in those processes? So really complex. And that's where I learned a lot. Like, how many things do we have in place and do really well and good?
Even after being at Daktronics for 13 years, there's always something that it seems like you didn't know about or you learn more about. It's incredible. I think I know the answer to this question.
Absolutely.
But was it their first time being in South Dakota?
For those guys, yeah, it was the first time. Yep. And I sense where you want to go with that, but go on.
No, I was just kind of curious their thoughts on it. You know, we've heard different people, because we always love getting perspectives from customers when they come to visit us, right? And a lot of times we're here in Brookings, South Dakota, and they see the facilities and the manufacturing that we have going on up here, and they're just blown away, and they didn't think that something like that existed at this part of the country.
Yeah, I mean, there is multiple ways to look at it. The one thing is, yeah, they are certainly surprised what a big company is sitting there. Or let's say different, how many big companies are sitting in Brookings, right? Because if you look from Europe here, like, where's Brookings? Not many people may notice how out of the stand where Brookings is, mm-hmm, certainly. But I mean, there's Daktronics, and there's a number of other global companies with manufacturing facilities. So this is one surprising moment for them. But then the other side is, people, I think, have oftentimes a picture of New York and New York people in their mind. And the financial side of the U.S. Being maybe pretty tough. And so they come to Brookings and they see quite a huge company, but still on a, how you say this, it's kind of like a family spirit, maybe, even though we are a shareholder company, this is still driven maybe with a more family style spirit. That's what most people really like. So, hey, this is really nice. being professional and then big on the one side and still keeping that mentality. That's what they really like.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that's a good example of how the products that we're putting together here are shipped all over the world. So from Brookings, South Dakota, all the way over to Swiss Railways. And after these displays have been installed, have you had a chance to visit the installs yourself?
I was with Eric and we went to all the sites. We helped on the evaluation and I was involved quite a bit. And we looked to all the displays. This is quite interesting to see. It's different sizes, right? It's from let's say, maybe 5 meters wide down to displays which are almost 20 meters wide and double-sided. So any sizes you can imagine are presented there.
Nice. And is it one of those things where you see, you know, you're looking at the displays probably a lot differently than most of the passengers going by. So is it, impressed with how they're using it, but can you tell the passengers that you're around are definitely looking up and using those as a resource to figure out where they got to go?
Definitely they do. And I think it's really appreciated from the absolute majority. There might be always somebody who doesn't like it, but they get more information because the display is simply bigger than the old mechanical boards and they get more flexible information. So this is a big plus for them.
Going off of that, if there's another like railway or bigger customer like this looking to implement the same type of thing, what advice would you give them looking forward?
Well, an advice, what we try since we have done the project is the way how they structured their tender. Typically, if you go to public tenders, most times price is the dominating factor in this evaluation. And Swiss Rail went really a different way. They tried to include much, much more the quality side of it and the total cost of ownership. So they run through a calculation over 10 years and included all those costs in the tender evaluation. So price is still a big portion, but it includes a lot of all these components. And yeah, by that way, they were able to go for a different quality level, right? Where you normally would have got maybe a way cheaper display, but for sure not as good in quality with so little impact on the service side. And this was by intention. I mean, that was their goal from the beginning. I think this is what we try to advise to any other company, that this is kind of like essential, because looking to this total cost of ownership, this is the key. And I know this is hard to get in people's mind, especially when operation costs and the capital investment is typically separated. But you should see the big picture, and that's what they achieved, and that's what we try to tell other customers.
And I like that total cost of ownership, because obviously, you know, a lot of people always want to go with a lower price, but it's one of those, there's a lot more to it than that, especially when you talked about the work that they did to come visit us at our corporate headquarters for 3 days and all the questions they ask, right? That just shows right there that there should be a lot more things that are considered in there besides kind of the price.
Right. Certainly the other thing is they want to have a company and a partner who is really capable and has the resources to do such a project. Because if I may just bring this forward, we were not only supplying the product, we were kind of like the general contractor. So we were responsible for any aspect, steelwork, static calculation, dismantling the old stuff. Originally, these things were under their head, but then when they got to know us better, they asked us to take this also under our responsibility. I think that makes a win-win for both. It's easier for us to communicate with the other parts of this business, and for them it was an easy way because they had one person to go to.
And is there anything else about this SBB project that we haven't really covered that you wanted to share?
Yeah, maybe there's one nice story I would like to share. Their CEO, Andreas Meyer, is a very ambitious guy, very visionary, so a great man. And when we installed, I think it was one of the last displays, this is Zurich main station. So this is the biggest one, was about 3 meter high and about 18 meter wide. So it has four sections on each side. So it's a double-sided display. And the old one, the mechanical one, was about the same size. And he had an appointment at a certain date where he wanted to open a different project and said, this day, I would like to have this display up and running. And that left us exactly two nights, one night to tear down the old display and the second night to cheer, to bring up the new display. and we could only do night work. So we had a flatbed truck to come in, take the old one out. And then this truck rolled in at midnight in the station, and the whole display got pre-assembled about a mile away in a warehouse, came in, and the truck got lifted up. It was up there about 2 in the morning, and at 8 o'clock, was kind of like pressed the button, and everything runs like it was there forever.
Wow.
Fascinating, challenging. I mean, Eric, yeah, I think he lost some weight during that time. really great. Really great. And yeah, certainly Andreas Meyer was very pleased that we really put it to the minute. Everything was running. Great activity. And then you may wonder, in midnight when we started to work with the truck, we had about more than 100 spectators. They had to block off the area because there were private people coming in and watching the scenery, because in Switzerland, yeah, everybody feels like the train is like their property. Everybody's kind of like an owner of the railway. Mm-hmm. That's how Swiss people receive the railway. And so you have private people coming in at midnight, about 100, just watch what we're doing.
So, not too many times you amazing. Get a crowd for an installation like that.
We felt like being on stage, spot on. So fantastic. Yeah, new way of installing displays.
I'm not sure if it exists or not, but when you're talking about having to crank something out like this in 2 days, it makes me think it'd be so cool to see a mounted camera time lapse of how all that actually happened, because that seems like such a tight line to get that amount of work done.
Yeah, actually, there is videos available. There's a time lapse from this installation, and it should be available online. Yeah, we can check back with our marketing. The video is available and is approved to hand out to people.
Look at that.
So that's existing, and that's amazing to see. Yeah,
I did not know that. I didn't plant that for you to answer that way, just so everyone knows. I really had no idea that existed. So now I'm actually excited. We'll make sure and find that and put it in the show notes for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if people are listening to this podcast and want to have the info, they should just contact the marketing. And I'm sure they get the right people to talk to and get the video link.
Yeah, this is an interesting project to hear a lot about, and about multiple display installations across the railway dating over quite a few different years with the same customer. So thanks, Rolf, for coming on and sharing some of that information with us.
Yeah, it was a pleasure, and we hope we can continue that story. I mean, SPV was very happy to hear when we acquired Data Display about 5 years back in Ireland, now being Dectronics Ireland, because that brings a new side of the business to us, the whole smaller scaled LED and LCD-based displays as platform displays, and there will be a new tender, and we will participate.
Yeah, absolutely. If this continues to go on, the story continues, we'll definitely have you back on to talk more about it, Rolf. It's been a pleasure chatting with you today.
Well, it's a pleasure for me. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Thanks, Ralph.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Dectronics Experience Podcast. Please subscribe at your favorite place to listen to podcasts to keep up with our latest episodes.